We're continuing our series. We're going to be sharing communion at the end of our service this morning. Continuing our series on Jesus is for everyone from the Gospel of Luke. And last time we were looking at what does a loving God look like from the parable of the Good Samaritan in verses 25 to 37. Today we're on to this next little cameo story. And the title is, Are You Distracted or Devoted? And it's a story of Mary, Martha, and Jesus. It's a very simple, short Bible story about two women and their interaction with Jesus. Mary and Martha are sisters. We know they had a brother called Lazarus, who doesn't appear in this story. They lived in Bethany, a village about 2 miles from Jerusalem. They had both become followers of Jesus. They were both disciples of Jesus. They were both close friends of Jesus. They were both followers in that way of Jesus. So looking first of all at Martha. You know, I would have loved to have met Martha. Sometimes, because of this story, she gets a bit of a bad press, and we tend to focus on Mary rather than Martha. But Martha must have been an incredibly wonderful Christian lady. She was almost certainly the older of the two sisters. Her name is always mentioned first. And in John 11, it's Martha who goes out to meet Jesus after he arrives after Lazarus, their brother, had died. It was in a private conversation to Martha that Jesus said those famous words read at most Christian funeral services, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Amen? Amen. And then Jesus asked Martha, not Mary, asked Martha, do you believe this? And she says with this tremendous confession of faith, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God who was to come into the world. What a woman. What a woman full of faith, full of belief in Jesus. She understood and acknowledged and worshipped Jesus as who he really was when many of the men disciples hadn't yet twigged it, hadn't really understood who Jesus really was. Here she is saying, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you have been sent from God. I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. That was further than most of the men disciples that Jesus had told. The 12 that he'd chosen had really understood at that point. What a woman she was. What a special relationship she had with Jesus, that Jesus chose to reveal to her the truth of his resurrection power. That is fantastic, folk. That is wonderful. Jesus chose, out of all the people that he was teaching at that time, out of all his disciples, he chose Martha to say those words, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me will live, whoever, and etc., etc. He chose her to reveal that truth too. And John 11, verse 5 goes even further. It says, Jesus loved Martha. Isn't that precious? Aren't those beautiful words? Jesus loved Martha. If you've repented of your sin, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. Jesus says those same words to you today. Jesus loves you. You can put your name there. But it says in Scripture, in the inspired Word of God, Jesus loved Martha. But that still didn't mean that in Luke 10, he didn't rebuke her, because he does rebuke her in this verse. Jesus rebuking her didn't mean that she was any less loved than before. Because Jesus loves us, it is because Jesus loves us that sometimes he has to rebuke us, isn't he? because we get things wrong. We get things out of proportion. We focus on the wrong things. We focus on things which are not important, which is so precious that we've sung that song that Jesus is the center of it all. Jesus should be the center of this church. But sometimes, folks, you, and if you don't, I do, forget that. And we focus on other things so that Jesus is no longer the center. And we can do that even as a church. Churches can easily get distracted onto other things. But Jesus is the center of it all. And so Jesus sometimes has to rebuke us, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't love us any less or that he doesn't love us anymore. But Martha is distracted. Where did it go wrong for Martha in this little story in Luke 10? Martha was doing so well as a disciple of Jesus. She was so committed to Jesus. She loved Jesus. She would do anything for Jesus. She was a 24/7 Christian. She didn't come to church on a Sunday or go to the temple on a Saturday or whatever it may happen to be and then forget about Jesus the rest of the week. She was a 24/7 Christian. And God calls us to be that as well. She wanted to serve Jesus. She didn't mind working hard for Jesus. She was prepared to get her hands dirty for Jesus. Praise God. You know, each one of us should be prepared to serve Jesus. We should be prepared to get our hands dirty for Jesus. She was prepared to open her home to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? She welcomed Jesus into her home. Jesus knew that he was always, whenever he was in Bethany, where was he? He was in Mary and Martha and Lazarus's home. Beautiful. He knew that he was always welcome, even when he turned up at inconvenient times, even when he preached inconvenient things and made himself unpopular, he was still welcome in their home. And when, in this story, when Martha knew that Jesus was coming to her house, she made every effort to do the very best for Jesus. She wasn't going to give Jesus a British welcome with a few sandwiches and a bit of cake. Jesus was coming to her house and she was pulling all the stops out. She was pulling out all the stops. She was preparing a feast for Jesus. Jesus was going to get the very best of everything. The best china was coming out of the cupboards. The best cooking was happening. The best waitress service that she could serve up. She loved Jesus. Nothing was too good for her Jesus. He was going to get the very, very best. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we should be like? Martha was serving the Lord so hard, but there was a problem. Someone was really getting up her nose. Don't you find that? You know, you're really trying hard to serve Jesus and get on. You want the very best for Jesus. But someone else, usually some other Christian, that really gets up your nose, don't they? You know, they're just not doing, they're not pulling their weight. They're not doing what they should be doing. They're not doing, you know, and you get distracted by someone else. Instead of focusing on Jesus, you focus, you know, I'm not going to that church if they're doing that. And, you know, this is what was going on for poor Martha. She loved Jesus. She was doing her best for Jesus. I'm not very happy at all. And Martha's problem was her younger sister Mary. And you know, forget about other church members. It's often family members who get up your nose the most sometimes, isn't it? Families are wonderful until you get together for too long. They're great when they come for a few hours at Christmas time or whenever it may happen to be. But you know, when you spend extended periods of time with members of your family, sometimes, you know, some of the personalities clash, and you know, it's just different, and not all that easy. You know, brothers and sisters can be a pain. If you're a single child, you don't know what I mean, but you know, you'll find other people will be a pain instead. But you know, Mary should have been in the kitchen helping Martha. Martha was right about that. Mary should have been in the kitchen helping Martha. She should have been setting the table or doing something useful. But where was she? She was in the living room with the men. Doing nothing. Doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Sitting, gazing into the eyes of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Probably flirting with him a little bit. And just sitting there at Jesus' feet, just looking at him. And Martha's doing all this stuff. All this stuff she's trying to do. And Mary's just sitting there. She shouldn't have been in the living room. Culturally, she was meant to be in the kitchen. You Africans know something about this. You know, the men are meant to be there. They're meant to be looked after because they're capable of absolutely nothing. So they all sit in the living room and the ladies do all the work in the kitchen and then they come and they serve ever so nicely and ever so politely to the men who are absolutely useless, doing nothing. But you serve them all and then you serve them their food first. Then afterwards you come and you're able to eat yourself. You see, Mary had no business of being in the living room at all. She was breaking all the cultural rules. She shouldn't have been there at all. And you know, there she is sitting. Oh, Jesus. Hanging on his every word, smiling, looking into his eyes. And Martha's furious. Absolutely furious. And the more Martha worked hard serving Jesus, the more angry and bitter she became. She could probably hear them. You know, there's nothing worse, is there? When you are slaving away in the kitchen, and she could probably hear them talking and laughing and enjoying themselves while she was slaving away. She could probably hear Mary's voice. And Martha was so cross with her sisters. She was so cross with Jesus. Couldn't Jesus see that she needed help in the kitchen? How could Mary just sit there? Didn't Jesus know it was culturally wrong for her to be with the men? And so she was becoming more and more angry, more and more frustrated. And finally, she can control herself no longer. And she burst into the living room. Lord, don't you care? Mary, my sister, has left me to do all the work by myself. Oh, tell her to help me. And it was obviously one of those unforgettable moments. You've probably experienced some of those in your household. Now, when someone gets really upset and suddenly, you know, you've got this very happy atmosphere and someone bursts through the door in anger and everything else, and there's a shouting match, and there's probably slamming of doors. They probably didn't have doors in the house at that time, but don't worry about that. But, you know, it's amazing. It used to happen every Christmas in my family. My mother was a very meek and mild person, but it's amazing how many doors get slammed and, you know, how many hinges almost need to be repaired afterwards. You know, at the very time when you're meant to be having a great time and a wonderful time, and then something goes wrong. And so Martha bursts into this happy, relaxed living room, and suddenly there's this explosion through the door. There's this big scene. It's very awkward. It's very embarrassing. What does Jesus do here? Well, how did Jesus respond? It's lovely, isn't it? Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, the grace and the mercy of Jesus here. Because Jesus wasn't irritated. He wasn't angry. Jesus loved her. He was gentle, but he was also very firm, wasn't he? I imagine that Jesus got up. And I imagined, Trish is not here, so it's inappropriate for me to do this to anyone else, but, you know, I imagined that he probably put his arms around Martha. Just put his arms around Martha and held her. And said these words, Martha, Martha. And when he said her name, she probably burst into tears, didn't she? if we're honest. Forget about being man or woman. Emotions are there. And she's just burst in, created the scene. Emotions are running high. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that fantastic? Jesus is saying to Martha, it's not Mary who's got the problem. You're focusing on Mary. You're getting angry about Mary and what she's not doing. It's not Mary who's got the problem, it's you, Martha. And maybe Jesus is putting his arm around you this morning. And he's calling you by name. Maybe you've been getting really stressed and fractious and just struggling with frustration, just with anger. And he would put his arms around you and say your name. My situation, John, John. You're worried and troubled and upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. Only one thing is really important, and that is your relationship with me. It's not those others who have the problem, it's you. And poor Martha was so stressed out. She'd been trying so hard. Just think for a moment from the other side of the story. Just think for a moment how ridiculous Martha's situation was. Because we have something to learn from this. Martha had Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one sent from God, the promised Messiah, sitting in her front room of her house. Wow! That is incredible, isn't it? Well, that's fantastic. She had her Lord and her Savior sitting in her lounge. And where was she? In the kitchen. Getting in a stew. Probably literally. Imagine, just for a moment, if Jesus came physically and sat down in your front room this afternoon. Wouldn't you want to stay in his presence? Wouldn't you want to listen to his every word? Wouldn't you want to gaze into his eyes? To kneel at his feet? To speak to him? To hear his words to you? To hear the Son of God speaking to you? I hope that's what you'd want to do. I hope that's what I would want to do. But if we're honest, I guess many of us, if Jesus was sitting in our front room this afternoon, we would be thinking, did I clean the sofa? What magazine did I hide under that cushion? Oh no, the children didn't clear away the toys. Look at the mess. Oh no, I didn't hoover before he came. No, I hope he doesn't look at the books. There's some books there that are a bit dodgy. Not very biblical, not very moral. What television channel's on? What's going to come on next on the TV? We forget to switch it off. And not only would we be thinking that, we'd be scurrying around. Jesus, can I get you a cup of tea? What about a bit of fruitcake? I put some brandy in it yesterday. Oh, no, I didn't say that. How about a bacon sandwich? Oh, no, you're chewing. Don't eat bacon. And I believe Jesus would say to us, calm down. Sit down. Sit next to me. Stop worrying. Stop fussing all the time. Spend time with me. Spend time with me. Rest in my presence. Enjoy me. The food will wait. You can be busy later. Just spend this time with me. Rest in my presence. Now, for some of us, our lives are so hectic. We're so busy trying to do this and that, so busy trying to serve Jesus, that when Jesus actually turns up, he seems to make things worse. And the tragedy for this story is that for Martha, Jesus' presence was a pressure rather than a pleasure. Instead of being blessed by Jesus, she was bothered by Jesus. And can I ask you, does the presence of Jesus bless you or bother you? When the Holy Spirit is wonderfully at work, and he is wonderfully at work, isn't he? Praise God. He's wonderfully at work amongst us. Do you find that you're able to relax and enjoy him and open your life to him? Or are you so busy trying to organize everything around you? With all the stress and the hassle and the bustle of life in 2023, are you able to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus? You know, it's one of the greatest challenges in our modern society. With all the alternatives that are available to us, all the attractions of television and internet and goodness, I have a struggle with the iPad. You know, so many things that are distraction. You can be constantly searching for this and searching for that and constantly doing this and doing that and everything else. Probably the greatest challenge for us as Christians is to stop, to be still and know that he is God. To sit still and enjoy the presence of God. I find that really hard because I'm an activist. I'm always on the move. I can't even sit still. My mind's always going 120 miles an hour. I have to discipline myself to stop, to sit still, and to just know the presence of God. And each one of us needs that. Jesus was saying to Martha, forget the feast you were trying to do for me. I don't need it. Forget the kitchen. Leave the frustration. Leave the anger. Stop trying to make everything happen in your own strength. Come to the lounge with me. Sit down with me. Spend time with me. And perhaps you've come to church this morning and life is a whirlwind of pressure and stress. Join the club. The reality is life is not going to slow down. You know, you can dream of the fact that when you get older, life will be slower. I can tell you it goes faster. There's no such thing as retirement. We rest in his presence when we're dead. Rest in peace. But we need to learn to rest in his presence and enjoy his presence in the present. Amen? Amen. That's so important. Spend time with me. Jesus says, come and sit at my feet. Listen to me. Rest in my presence. Maybe you've been trying to serve God in your own strength, trying to please God, to make up for some sin or failure. Do you know that never works? It always worries me when I realize that some Christians are working so hard, trying to serve Jesus, and what they're trying to do is to try and pay back Jesus. To make Jesus feel better about you because you actually want to feel better about yourself. But you know you can never earn your salvation. Doesn't matter how many good works you do. Jesus actually wants us to serve from a place. He's got stress. He wants us to serve from a place of peace. A place of enjoying his presence. Enjoy it. Don't just stay in his presence and never do anything. That's not what he calls us to do. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. But make sure you're serving out of that place of peace, that place of his presence. When you have been in his presence, when you have been refreshed and refilled by the Holy Spirit, then you can minister in the power of that Spirit. If you just come, or if you never come actually to him, and you just go on, trying to serve God, you just get burnt out. And in actual fact, you do not see the fruit of your labor. You know, we've all got different personalities. I try and make my car run for as long as I can, not on the tank of petrol before I go back, or tank of diesel in my case, most of the time. before I go back to the station. You know, the danger is we can do the same with God. We get filled up. We go to a conference. Oh, that's great. You know, get filled up with the Holy Spirit. And then you keep on going, serving the Lord for the next couple of years. And then you wonder why you're exhausted and the tank's empty. And you need to go back to be filled. Keep on, it says. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Continually be filled with the Spirit. And then you're ministering from that fullness out into the power of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've been feeling angry. Maybe you've been feeling frustrated and bitter towards other people. Feel that they've let you down. They haven't pulled their weight. Jesus says, let go of your hurt. Let go of what you're holding on to. Come to me. Be in my presence. Receive my healing from the hurt and pain and be refreshed from my presence. You know, God wants to bring healing. He doesn't want us to stay in anger. He doesn't want us to stay in bitterness and frustration. He invites us to come. You know, we need healing. Each of us needs healing. And you know, Jesus offers us his healing. And again, to be able to minister from a place of healing. And you know, when you've received healing, you're able to be open and honest with others and saying, I haven't got it all sorted either. The biggest problem in church is people who think they've got it all sorted and don't need God's healing and help. You know, we're all broken people. We're all burnt out and worn out people. We're all battered and bruised people because that's what society does to us. And it's no weakness to come to God and to bring our brokenness and our batteredness to him and to allow him to bring in his healing so that we can then minister to other broken and damaged people with the beautiful presence of Jesus, with the beautiful Spirit of God that we can bring out. It's amazing what you can bring out of Mary and Martha, isn't it? This little story that you can almost overlook here. Perhaps there are some here today, and you've not yet actually become a Christian, but you're stressed out by life. Now, life is stressful, isn't it, folks? Anyone bold enough to put up their hand and say life is not stressful? I've come round to you this afternoon and find out what the secret is. No one there, no. See, life is stressful. You know, often there is no peace, there's no forgiveness, there's no fulfillment. And you'll find if you're not yet a Christian, there is no peace. There is no forgiveness, there's no fulfillment in your life. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you all that you need. Matthew 11:28, beautiful invitation. Look at those wonderful invitations of Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Is there anyone here who doesn't need to come to him? All you who are weary and burdened? Oh, no, I woke up this morning. Oh, I'm just full of life and joy. I'm not weary and burdened at all. It's wonderful. Oh, it's super. You know, but that's not the reality most of the time, is it? You know, wake up in the morning. Oh, no, it's Sunday again. Got to get to church. Whatever it may happen to be. And that's when you're the pastor. No, I'm not like that, honestly. I love coming to church. It's great. But come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you're not yet a believer, come to Jesus. Bring all your weariness, all your burdens, because he will give you rest. Take my yoke. My second daughter, until she was an adult, thought that was something about eggs. I had never even thought about the fact that people wouldn't understand what a yoke is. What on earth is a yoke? Well, it's the thing that was put on cows to bring the cows together so that they could pull a heavy load. Take my yoke, take my following me upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. You don't look very excited about that. No, that's fantastic. You will find rest for your souls. If you are stressed out, what do you need? You need rest for your souls. Rest that ministers more than physical rest. It ministers right into the depths of your personality. It is rest for your souls. It's a rest for the whole of your life, but not only for this life, but for eternity. It's a rest that will go on. You'll not just rest in peace when you die, you'll rest in peace now. Not because you're dead or half dead, but because you're resting in the presence of God and you know who you are in God, that you know that you are a child of God. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's just that we take on our own yokes and our own burdens, and they're blooming stressful and heavy. We soon become stressed and tired and weary when we try to do things in our own way, in our own strength. But if we will come into his presence, we will find rest. Very quickly and very briefly, I promise it's going to be very briefly, let's look at Mary, because I wanted to focus mainly on Martha. Mary also was loved by Jesus. She enjoyed a wonderful relationship with Jesus. She was not distracted. Mary was devoted to Jesus. Mary wasn't in the kitchen serving Jesus. She was in the living room enjoying Jesus. She would have been in the kitchen straight away if Jesus had asked her to. Do you realize that? If Jesus had asked Mary, go and help Martha in the kitchen, she would have been there like a flash, wouldn't she? She would have worked her socks off for Jesus if Jesus asked her to. Because practical service is important. Serving Jesus is vital. But Jesus wanted Mary to spend time with him, to rest and to enjoy his presence, to hear his word. And Jesus wants you and me to be devoted to him, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for all those things will be added to you, to spend quality time with Jesus, to sit at his feet and to listen to him, to worship him with all our lives. Mary loved Jesus. John 11:2 tells us she had been the one who had anointed Jesus and washed his feet with her hair. She was devoted to Jesus. Mary was extravagant and unashamed in her devotion and worship of Jesus. And Mary couldn't understand why Martha was so upset. Couldn't imagine why Martha would want to be in the kitchen. Fancy missing out being with Jesus. Fancy missing out spending time with Jesus and listening to Jesus. Who wanted food anyway when you could feast on Jesus, who is the bread of life? And the pointlessness of what Martha was doing is exposed in that. This was Jesus, who fed 5,000. And Martha's getting herself in a right stew, trying to feed Jesus and a handful of men and Mary in the living room. Many people today are stressed out with worries, fears, anxieties, and pressures, desperately trying to hold life together, including some here, and many not succeeding in holding life together. Don't worry, it's only the bin. Mental health issues are massively increasing as a problem in our society today. The message of Jesus to us today is only one thing is needful. The same message as he said to Martha. Only one thing is needful. Only one thing cannot be taken away. Only one thing lasts forever, folks. All your works will get burnt up, but only one thing will last forever, and that's your relationship with Jesus, that you're a child of God. That is to be with Jesus, to be in his presence, to know Jesus, to learn from him. And so Jesus invites us to come to him this morning, to know his presence, to enjoy his presence, to rest in his presence, to know his forgiveness and love. And Jesus Again, just to reemphasize that, this wonderful invitation, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the question this morning is, will you come to Jesus today? Will you be like Martha in the kitchen, away from Jesus, worried and troubled and stressed out by many things? Or will you be like Mary in the living room, enjoying God's presence, enjoying the presence of Jesus, the Son of God, enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus left and sent for us to enjoy? And so as we come to take communion this morning, in taking communion, Jesus is inviting us to come to him, to partake of him, if you like, to spend time with him, to enjoy him, to find rest in his presence. Don't be distracted by the pressures of life. Be devoted to Jesus. Receive from Jesus as we receive communion. Only one thing is needful. Only one thing is needful. And his name is Jesus. To spend time in the presence of Jesus. I'm going to ask Chyla and the worship team to come up. And we're going to sing...